Hello, everyone. Let's get started. Welcome to the call. My name is Adam Corin. I'm the Director of Training here at Maestro Conference, and I'm really glad that you made the time to be here. This is going to be a really special call. Joining me on the call today are Dave Ellis and Brian Burt. Dave is one of my mentors and someone I really admire. He's the author of Falling Awake, and as well as the best-selling college textbook of all time, Becoming a Master Student. And he's joining us on the call today along with our founder and CEO, Brian Burt. And I'm just thrilled to start off this this series that we'll be having advanced trainings every month. And the focus of this first call today is going to be on engagement. How do you have full participation with your participants? How do you have them really throughout the call paying attention, not interested in their email and Facebook, really engaged throughout the whole call? So that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to do our best to model that. So good. And we'll be hearing from Dave in just a moment. Brian, I wanted to start with you. You know, in the messaging, when we sent out the email to all of our customers about this call today, I noticed you really focused on the results of what they're going to get. I just wanted to start with why are you so passionate about that?
Great. Thanks for the question and for putting this together, Adam. And
sure.
Dave, it's delightful to be here with you. You know, when I just at a level of engagement, when I grew up and sort of through my college years, I became very anti-television. I was like, yeah, I didn't have a television, and I'm not into that sort of thing. And I think, and it even moved into my teaching when I was in grad school. I didn't just lecture. I was teaching calculus in Minnesota. I didn't just lecture. I put people into groups of three and four and teams and all these team exercises. And it was all kind of similarly related, and that is that there's a sense, I believe, and then now the neuroscience, I think, is actually proving it out very clearly in the materials you see, is that just watching something, just listening something, actually just puts the brain to sleep. And there's a way that it's very relaxing to watch television, even if it's a funny show or a political show or the news. There's actually a part of our brain that is literally going to sleep. And if you're trying for people to learn or to take action in their life and to change a deep-seated behavior, to get over something that they're uncomfortable, that's not a brain asleep activity. That's something about waking up, and actually really lines up with Dave's title, Falling Awake. The results aspect, and that's just kind of who I am, what I love, I'll brag for a minute. The students in those sections of calculus that I was teaching actually did far better on the university-wide final than any section had ever done in the history of those finals with thousands of students. So the active learning created remarkable results. The director of undergraduate studies brought me in and said, Brian, what the heck are you doing? I've never seen this. Everybody passed, one-third A's, one-third B's, one-third C's, no D's and F's. And that continued in Calc 2 and 3. So I know that active engagement works. People involved and excited in whatever they're doing is way better than being some kind of passive recipient. So, you see the company I've made. I don't think that's a surprise to people that I believe in that. What's been interesting lately has been hearing about the results that customers have been having when they're really using that. And so, and I see more and more people when I flip over we can kind of visually watch what's going on in events, and I see more and more people doing breakouts, and they're doing different sizes and different amounts of hands up. I was just on a national event yesterday with one of the top political organizations, and everybody's hands were going up and down the whole time for just the 3 or 4 minutes I was on there, and people were getting called on. But I spoke to one of our customers who was doing a kind of a community call for their graduates a couple times a month, and they said they were typically getting 15 and 20 people. They kept the same list, the same marketing. They started using Maestro Conference, and in particular, they started using breakout groups and really having people do the work rather than just listen. And they said the participation on those calls jumped within just a couple months, where they were getting 75 to 100 people. And those are the people that are going to tell their friends. Those are going to people that are going to take their next paid course. Those people are getting way more value than listening to an MP3 And I want to speak to the people, even listening to the MP3 of this. We're going to make a recording. Some people request it. Yes, get the most value, but the way you're going to get the most value is by putting this into practice. So those kind of results that I want to see, I know that when we're creating those for our customers, they're giving more value, doing more fantastic good in the world, and growing their businesses, which is what makes it sustainable to have more revenue so that they can grow their impact and feed themselves in the way that they do, given the deepness of their passion for their work. So I'm really excited when I heard Dave's techniques, and I've seen little bits and pieces of them and used them, but when we started preparing for this call, I'm just like, this is really key. So really excited to see that the kind of impact that using these techniques I know will have for many of you out there on the call. It's about more than 50 of you, so we're really excited.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for your idea of having me on this call. And I know you were going to do a quick straw poll, because this is one of the ways to immediately get people involved, which is to ask them right off the bat to participate. And it's one of the things that I do when I do my my workshops on the phone, my teleseminars, I call them virtual gatherings, because they're really way more than a teleseminar. But let me, I kind of interrupted you, but I turn it back to you for that little poll.
Sure. So we're curious how many people have used breakout groups at all. So if you've never used breakout groups, go ahead and press 1. If you have experimented with them, maybe tried a little bit, it's not a regular habit, press 2. If you've used them a little bit on the, outskirts, meaning, maybe at the end of an event, they're optional, then press 3, or that is, they're not something that you normally emphasize. If you use them regularly, press 4, and if they've really become the center of what you're doing, go ahead and press 5. And if you are looking at the dashboard, we're sharing those results so we can kind of see where people land. I know that Dave, it really ends up at the 5 here. And I'm fantastic. Adam, if we could grab the other 5s and 4s and move that into, just grab all the custom, all the hands and move it into custom 1 right now. We may actually call on some of you that are 5s and ask you what you're doing. So this will be great. We've captured the data so that now we can put the hands down and we'll still have that. We can call on you later. As you can see, the basic story here is that there's a lot of people that really haven't started, a few people that have kind of experimented, and definitely some that are 10% here of the whole total that are actually put this right at the center of what they're doing. So very helpful for us to know. We've got a whole range of folks here. So
for those of you who don't have the dashboard open, just tell you that 25% of you said 1, you haven't used it, 23% said 2, 8% said 3, 16% said 4, and 8% of you said you use it and it's a really cornerstone, and that's where I put myself. And I do that because, like Brian, I started teaching mathematics. That's where I started teaching, and I was teaching at a college, teaching computer science, a move from math to computer science, and I realized that when I lectured, students got a little, but when I interacted with the students, they got a lot. And what I was looking for was some way to be able to reproduce that outside of a classroom or outside of a training room. I do trainings. That's for the last 25 years, I've done public trainings for adults, mostly leaders, but a lot of educators, really teaching teachers how to teach. And so I was looking for what could I do over the phone and virtually that would reproduce that. And that's why I was just so excited to find this Maestro conference. And it has become an integral part of my online, telephone, virtual teaching, because it's a way to get people involved. And Brian did it right away. He got you involved by having you vote. And then we let you know how you voted. The next way that I recommend that you get people involved is to tell them the purpose of your gathering. And then see if you can get them to commit to that purpose or not. So let me model it. Here's the purpose of our gathering. The purpose of this call is to assist you to invent ways to maximize interactive features of the Maestro Conference platform so that you can leave with at least 4 new techniques that you'll put into place within the month. Now, I know that was a mouthful. Let me read it again, because you might notice that what I said there was not that we're going to teach you, and of course we'll give you some ideas, but what we want you to do is to observe what we're up to and invent what you can be up to maximize interaction in your teaching over the phone. So the purpose of this call is to assist you to invent ways to maximize interactive education and the interactive features of the Maestro Conference platform so that you'll leave with at least 4 new techniques that you'll put into place within the month. Now, the reason that I give participants a purpose is so that they can share in the responsibility of the education and they can be active participants. Rather than, like Brian was talking about, passive observers, we've really been trained well to be passive observers of content because of all the hours that we've spent in front of a television. And even in front of a computer that's still a little passive, of course, it's way more active than a TV. But we're trying to move these participants from passive to active. So that's one reason for purpose. And then we ask them to commit. So now we're going to do another exercise, which this time is a commitment exercise, something that I do every time I gather a group of people for an educational purpose. I start with, within the first 10% of our time, some kind of a commitment exercise. So here's the one that I'm asking you. There's 3 levels of commitment. And really, it's okay, whatever you commit to. Number one, for this call, that's what I'm asking you about, for this call and your commitment. Number one is, hey, I'm on the phone, I'm going to just listen. And when you go into groups, because we're going to go into groups later, don't put me into a group. I just want to listen. Number two is I'll participate, so put me into groups, and I'll get whatever I get. Number three commitment is I am going to leave here with 4 new techniques that I'll put into practice within the month. Okay, so now please vote. Number one is, hey, I'm here to listen. Don't put me into a group. I'll get what I get. And no problem, by the way. We're happy to have you. And a lot of you, of course, are listening to the recording, and that's maybe your level of commitment, but even those of you listening to the recording can commit at level 3. Number 2 commitment is I'll participate, so put me into the groups, and I'll get what I get. And number 3 is, you got me. I'm here, I'm involved, and I'll leave with 4 new techniques or more that I'll put into practice within the month. Now, of course, number 3 is a little risky because you're not sure that you'll be able to invent 4, although we've already given you 3 called straw poll at the beginning, start with a purpose, and have a commitment exercise. And if you take and invent around those, you've already got 3 of the 4, and we've just started. Now, please vote 1, 2, or 3, because it's also fun to let you know, because I can see on here that at this point, a few of you haven't voted.
Yeah, let me call in a couple of people. Eric T., and Martha Forlines and Carolyn Scott, if you guys could let us know, and Shay Hayden, let us know your level of commitment.
Pam.
Nathan Charles and Scott Chanel. Go ahead and press 1, 2, or 3 on your phone so that we know. 1, kind of observing. 2, going to, you know, kind of participate, see what you get. And 3 is really committed to getting this purpose, getting your results.
Now, of course, some of you might think, well, wait a minute, aren't you kind of putting people on the spot? Aren't you almost forcing them to participate? Well, not force, but we're sure encouraging it. And that's the beauty of this platform, because we can see who's voted and who hasn't.
So
Adam,
I heard this from
votes?
Dave. We never modeled this. We never came out of this kind of thing at Maestro Conference, and I just love this because energetically I can feel those threes are now saying, okay, what's next? I get it. What next? They are in. They are fully in. And even in the breakouts, they're going to participate. in a different way. So that feels great. I'm actually just going to mention a technique we're not going to use that I've heard people use for a paid course or for a longer course, where you set up some ground rules and you say, here's what it's going to be. There's going to be no multitasking. You're going to be sitting in a quiet place. You're not going to be, you know, checking your email. You're going to vote on everything, you know, give people a chance. So it's a yes or no. It's not just a one for yes and nothing for no. And you're always going to vote. And those are the ground rules. And then press one if you're up for it. And the other people, there may be people, hey, if they don't press one, ask them one-on-one, hey, are you up for that or not? Oh, yeah, sorry, I thought I pressed one or whatever. And if not, I've heard of hosts actually booting people. I say, these are the ground rules. And in a very friendly way, no problem, you know, just so you know, this is the game we're playing. And that is a kind of container that you see all the time in a really powerful live workshop. Obviously, it depends on the context. I'm not saying that's right for any context at all. It's definitely not. We're not going to do that today. But I just throw that out there. This step of gaining commitment, setting up the ground rules, and then having people choose whether in or out, I think is an incredibly powerful way to grab people's attention in a really positive way. They want it. They're going to get value out of this if they're paying attention. So,
Brian, the other way that I've done that is that sometimes when Adam helps me run some of my calls, and if we find somebody's not participating, I'll just send Adam a little message that says, go off and get into a small breakout with Sandy Smith and see if she's on a cell phone. Maybe she voted and we just don't see it, or maybe she just doesn't even want to vote, or maybe there's dead space and let's just hang her up. So that's another option, is you can go into a separate breakout, not you as the presenter, because you as the presenter are continuing to work with the entire group, but one of your assistants can go into a separate breakout with any participant and say, hey, did you vote? Because we had a woman who's joining our calls all the time from Shanghai in China, and when she votes, it doesn't show up. And probably because it goes through all these interchanges, or maybe because she's on Skype, or who knows why, but through that going into a little private breakout, we discovered that she was participating, we just didn't see it.
Great.
Well, speaking about breakouts.
Absolutely. We are going to do a breakout exercise next, and we're going to do two things with this. First of all, we recommend that you do a breakout early in the call. So if you can, even earlier than we're doing it now, we actually recommend within the first 15 minutes. We are going to do it, let's see here. Nope, it's not new setup just yet. We're going to actually set it up with the people who pressed one to just be in a kind of a listen-only mode with one of us. And the twos and threes are going to be in breakouts. But before we get you talking, we're going to do a technique that Dave has taught us that switches the often. I mean, I've dropped in, and Adam has dropped in thousands of breakout groups. And often there's a place just as a natural, oh, hey, where are you located? Oh, yeah, I happen to. How long have you been a MyShow conference customer? Just some chit-chat. And that's fine, but if you want to maximize the value of the time, and then they'll get into the topic. If you want to maximize the value of the time, what we're going to do is actually take a 45-second break first and ask everybody to write down their answer to the topic.
The value of this and the purpose of this is that people, once they write, will speak, first of all, more quickly, and much more effectively, because they've thought about the question. And the question, by the way, is, what impact do you want to make through your teleseminars? What impact do you want to make through your teleseminars? Now, I know you could probably just start to talk about this, but I believe that if you write about it first, then what you say when you break into these groups in a few minutes will be more powerful. So now I'm going to literally be quiet for 45 seconds now. That's a long time, by the way. And a lot of people that teach teleseminars say never have that much dead space. But I'm recommending something different, because I think that dead space actually captures people's attention. And during this 45 seconds, what I'm asking you to do is to write the answer to the question, what impact do you want to make through your teleseminars? And even if you're listening to this recording, we're going to leave this 45 seconds on the recording. And also on the recording are going to be when we break into groups. Some of you don't want to be in a group, so I'm going to talk to you about some other techniques, but we'll leave that on the recording. So for 45 seconds now, please answer the question in writing, what impact do you want to make through your teleseminars? Go. Hi, this is Dave. That turned out to be a little more than 45 seconds, but thank you for writing. And now in a moment, we're going to break into groups. Those of you who push 2 or 3 in the commitment exercise, you're going to be in groups, and you're going to be in groups of 3. And we're going to give you 3 minutes. Now, here's another technique, which is that as soon as you get into your group, say your name. And then the person whose name, first name is enough, say your first name, the person whose first name is highest in the alphabet, take leadership, which means that you're going to say, okay, I guess I'm the first person in the alphabet, so I'll be the leader, and I'll give you one of my answers about my impact. But don't talk too long, because you want to share that 3 minutes. And then as soon as you're done, with maybe about 30 seconds, call on one of the other members, and then call on one of the other members, and then come back and share some more, so that you as the leader really help that group get going. This is another way to get a lot of interaction, which is to appoint one person as the leader. And in this group of 3, we're going to, when as soon as you hear the chime, you'll be in the group. After 2 minutes, we'll give you another chime. That'll let you know that you've got 1 minute left. And Brian and Adam are going to be eavesdropping. They're going to be going from group to group just to make sure that it's all working well. All right. Well, thanks for your participation, and the groups begin now. Adam, go ahead. Now, those of you who are listening to the recording, you're hearing me. And those of you who are in a commitment level 1, you're hearing me. So thanks for listening, and thanks for continuing to look at what you can do. What can you do so that as a teleseminar leader, you're really getting interaction? And one of the things I think you can do is to give permission for not participating. That's really what we've done today, and that's why I'm with you, because we wanted to say that it really is all right for people to not be as interactive, because there's several of you who are listening to me, and all of those who are on the recording are listening to me, and you're not in a small group. No problem. What I discovered was sometimes people don't want to be in a small group. I had a woman get a little irritated with me a few weeks ago because she got put into a small group, and then I said, well, how come you're not participating? And she texted me that she had a terrible case of laryngitis. She couldn't speak, and what she wanted to do was not participate. She just wanted to listen, and yet I put her on the spot. Well, we don't want to put people on the spot. We want to let people choose for themselves. Are they going to participate or not participate? Now, there's also another way that people get to participate in addition to being in the small groups, and that is writing to each other. So what I often ask people to do is to write me an email or even send me a text. Or, of course, if you're using the participant dashboard, they can send messages through that dashboard. I've been monitoring the MAESTRO conference dashboard for those of you who have sent that in. For example, Deborah just wrote, she says, I want to get the impact stories of Social Venture Network members out to a wide as audience as possible and grow the socially responsible business movement to become more mainstream. So see, Deborah got to share her answer to really all of you, and there's another level of participation. Well, that was 3 minutes, so I think we're now about to join the big group. I'm wait for Adam, and he's going to come back and tell me when the small groups are complete.
Okay, everyone in the small groups, start to wrap it up and thank your partners.
So you notice, those of you who are in my group and are listening to the recording, that Adam let everybody know that we're about to stop, gives them a moment. And Adam... or Brian, tell me when to move to the next step.
Well, we're
we're
microphone now, so everybody can hear us. Might want to give people one last chance to say thank their partners.
When you were all in your small groups, one of the things I talked about is other ways to get people to participate even when they don't want to be in a small group, and how important it is to give people the option to not be in a group. Because sometimes my story I told was a woman with laryngitis, and I kind of pressed her, and it turned out that she was participating, but she didn't want to talk. So we want to give people that option. And then another way for people to participate is to send in their messages by the participant dashboard. And I read one of somebody who talked about what her purpose of having teleseminars was. All right, Brian, back to you.
Yeah. I'm just sort of thinking about the questions based on our conversation. I'm gonna ask you some questions. And what features do you use? And really, actually, I'd say what else do you do? Let me focus first on this. What else do you do to kind of create a container, an emotional container for engagement? Whether it's using the platform itself or in something you say or how you write about the event ahead of time. What do you do that gives a sense of that people are part of something that has some boundaries that they're in?
Well, I welcome people to the call by name. Now, we mentioned a few people's name, but I just, when I start the call, I just say, hi, Jim, good to have you here. Diane, thanks for joining us. Rick, Adam, Nathan, Rocky, Donna, really good to have you here. And I'll go through and mention people by name. And then very often, and I'll just go ahead and put everybody's hands down and then call on them, like have them raise their hand. And Adam, I'm wondering if we put everybody's hand down, we can leave the groups there, and let's just model that, which is Let's hear from a couple of you, either a comment or a question. We're already 31 minutes into this call. You've heard from us. You've heard from each other in small groups, but we haven't heard from you individually. So a couple of you just hit one on your keypad, and then we'll call on you and make a comment or a question. We'll start with Joshua Edwards. Go ahead, Joshua.
Thanks, Dave. I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for this opportunity. I'm learning so much, and I was just in my breakout groups, and I was on the cusp of completing this great story and then we came back to the main room. So for my group, I want to share the heart of the story, which speaks to how powerful breakout groups are. And I was on a call with Jean Houston a while back, and she had people go into groups and then report back to the main room just like this. And this woman came on. She said, "You'll never believe it, Jean. I was in this breakout group, and my partner happened to be this woman who had also lost her first husband to suicide and was then in an abusive second marriage. And, you know, they found each other."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. See, thank you, Joshua. And that's the kind of, Brian, you talked about emotional impact. And when you get stories like that, it's really powerful. Diane Wolverton, go ahead.
Thank you. I guess I have a question because I was actually in Joshua's group, and one of the things that we talked about, the others on there, is that I've tried to use breakouts, and I've just, my competency is lacking. So I'm just asking if there's a way to practice. I've tried with the simulator, but it's not the same. And then when I get on the real one, I think they're in groups and they're not in groups, and then I get frustrated, and then I just say, well, never mind groups. So I'm just wondering if there's a way we can build our skills.
And Diane, are you talking about kind of competency with the interface or sort of choosing the breakout questions and the context sort of, because they're both skills?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the technology.
Yeah, let me respond to that if I could. Diane, this is Adam. I'm the trainer here, and I'd love for you and for anyone with a similar concern or feeling or overwhelm to come on the Customer Success Clinic. I lead these twice a week, and Diane, I'll follow up with you afterwards and make sure you get access to that. So, and that's for you and anyone like that, but it's also for your team. So any of you who wants to focus more on your content and on your people, and less on the interface, you can have an assistant or something like that get trained on this. So feel free to send them to the clinic as well. I'll also just mention real quick, at the end of the hour at 1 o'clock Pacific time in about 25 minutes, we're going to do more Q&A for things like that, for more detailed questions of how do I do this and how do I do that, so we can take this full hour for Dave and Brian to focus on engagement.
And Diane, I really want to emphasize, this is Dave again, what Adam was saying about the value of having somebody else manage the technology of the platform. So you train an assistant so that you can have your entire focus be on communicating your content, and somebody else can literally set up the breakouts, and when you just say, go ahead, break them into groups, they'll do that. And now we're going to go to a comment or a question from Martha. Go ahead, Martha.
Hi, guys. This has been very helpful for me. I got into my breakout a little bit late, so I wasn't able to get too involved in the sharing at that point. But I have used breakouts one time, and I was fumbling and bumbling with it too. However, I'm ready to give it a go again, and this may be a question you want to answer at the end of the call, because I'm doing monthly calls, and I'm actually interviewing subject matter experts as a part of the call, and then they ask questions at the end of it. But I need to look at how I can incorporate a breakout into that process as well.
Absolutely. I'll take that because I just had a conversation with somebody who's doing a virtual series. And I said, you know, so that people enter, I mean energetically enter the call,
if even before introducing the speaker, say, you know, that we're going to hear a lot from the speaker, but we'd actually like to get the chance for the speaker to get to know who he's talking to or who she's going to be speaking to, so that she's not just speaking to the air, she's actually speaking
okay.
to you. So
okay.
I'd love everybody on the call to say a little bit about where they're at in their business or this step of their lives or their relationship, whatever the topic is. What's the topic that you're addressing, Martha?
Yeah, it's around self-mastery.
Great. So where are you mastering yourself, and where's your edge? Where do you want to be learning?
Okay.
And so take, and I would definitely recommend, so they don't chit-chat on that, to give them 30 seconds to write it down, and then go around in a circle and share that answer, and then you take the speaker and drop in and just listen to group for 5 seconds at a time and just move, you know, walk the room,
okay.
which Adam
okay.
teaches every time in that customer success clinic. And you can even have a friend or a student or one of your graduates or an assistant, you know, do that for you. But then
okay.
that speaker now, you're setting up specifically that the speaker is now hearing from everybody. Everybody has energetically entered it because they've all spoken.
Right.
And now when the speaker talks for 20 minutes, because they do like to do that, Dave recommends
mm-hmm.
that you never, nobody ever talk for more than 7 minutes in a row. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know that there's people doing it. But even then, when they're talking for that 20 minutes, they are talking to, you know, in response to. So it's almost like they're in a dialogue because
right.
they know who they're talking to, and they're going to refer, oh, like that woman I heard who said da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And so now everybody's like, wow, this person's responding to me and not just doing their spiel.
Okay, okay. Yeah, because I do have formatted questions that I ask these speakers when they come into the call. So there's like 4 or 5 questions that they go through. But I'm thinking if we get input on the front end, we tailor it more to what the trends are based on what people are saying.
Absolutely. You know, how to know how to answer a question in what kind of language, with what kind of emotional energy, how detailed or high level, what to emphasize, all totally changes based on the audience. And that's
this
the best
Dave.
Way to give the speaker a feeling of the audience is to get them a chance to listen to folks in breakouts.
Brian was interviewing me, and I kind of took over because of what he said, which is, he quoted me a minute ago. He said that one of my principles is to never talk for more than 7 minutes without going into another modality. And the purpose of that is back to the purpose of our call, engagement. So I'm going to turn the interview back to Brian, but I'm just pulled to take one more comment from you because, of course, that's what we're demonstrating here is engagement. So a lot of you have raised your hand, but I'm going to call on Eric.
Yes, hi. And I want to talk just a moment on setting up expectations and the ways to facilitate connections. I was touched by what Joshua said earlier on about, you know, a woman and making connection with someone through happening to be on a call. And having done lots of Maestro conference calls, either hosting or participating, the breakouts have been just so valuable to me. And to have that expectation that maybe I'll get a chance to go back into the breakout group I was in before and, you know, queuing people up, because I had, for instance, a really nice exchange going with Susan and Tori, and we all said at the end, you know, wish we had more time. And, you know, how is it that we can structure calls so that people say, wow, I really had something going there, I want to get back with them, and the facilitator says, you know, you're going to get a chance to go back into that same, you know, breakout group at the end, or at the end of the call, we're going to have something extended where people can, you know, meet up a little bit more. And to me, that enhances that interactivity possibility, knowing that I've got, you know, a possibility to re-engage in a way that was meaningful for me, and it doesn't just drop.
Exactly, Eric, and we're actually going to do that. Brian's going to ask me a few more questions about interactivity, and then we're going to move you back in your group. So, Eric, you get to be back with Susan and Tori, and we're going to have a different question to engage with. And then at the end of the calls, you can set up and give everybody the opportunity to come back and be together again after the call's complete. And the Maestro platform is so cool because if you put those people in groups at the end of the call, I can be done. I can go away from my computer. I can hang up my phone as the facilitator, and people can talk for as long as they want.
Yeah, we've
back
come
to
back.
Brian.
And, yeah, I've come back like sort of 6 hours after a conference, and there were like two breakout groups, and people from all over the world, and just, I mean, I thought it was a mistake. I dropped in, and then I listened. I'm like, oh, these people are talking, and I even said something because I'd been on that call. But it was literally 6 hours later. And it doesn't cost us anything. Don't feel bad for us. You know, we've got servers, and they're running 24/7. So you know, invite your people to talk as long as they'd like. So, Dave, I want to ask you kind of what are some of the options? I mean, I think we've seen of them, but when you have this rule around kind of switching things up every 7 minutes, what are some of the options and kind of for what purpose? It's like, oh, if I feel like the energy is lagging or if I feel like it's time to go deeper, what do you see as kind of the options is one part of my question. The other one is also in terms of picking your breakout question, often there's a lot of options there in terms of how do you make it go, how do you have it be really deep and impactful. So how do you, you know, what are the different formats and what are the different types of breakout questions you ask?
Well, I liked what Eric said a minute ago, which is to set up expectations and really to give people permission to go deep. Because prior to a breakout session, if you let people know that they can really reveal themselves, I mean, depending upon your content, of course. I mean, today's call, this when we're going into these breakouts, this is not the time to discover your long-lost lover or your or your soulmate. But on some of your teleseminars, as with mine, it is that time. And you set up those expectations and you ask questions that allow people to really go deep. Now, you said, well, when do you know to switch? I just believe that the time to switch is every few minutes, even if you have the sense that people are really participating. For example, a few minutes ago, I asked for questions or comments, and I only called on half of the people that raised their hand. Now, those hands are still up, so in a few minutes, when we're done with this interview portion of the call, Adam's going to take questions and comments again, and he'll call on some of the people that raise their hand, and then some more of you will raise your hand. But I just believe that whether people are really actively engaged or not, mix it up, because one of the subjects I've taught for years is learning styles and learning modalities. And I know that everybody learns differently. And some people really do get a lot from an interview like we're doing. Other people get a lot from a lecture. Some people get a lot from a small group discussion. Some people from an exercise. That's another thing we really haven't talked about yet, but I actually have people do exercises on the phone just like they would be doing exercises in a classroom. Written exercises, paired exercises, not just paired discussion, but literally paired exercises. So what we want to do is mix it up, have a lot of variety, so that no matter what the learning style of the person who's on the call, they're going to get value.
So I think we're going to move into our second breakout. We're going to come back for more questions, and then we're actually going to give time also for just straight, you know, platform questions, other questions for any of us. Dave's going to stay for a few more minutes, and Adam will stay on at least through 1:30, so another 45 minutes. But we wanted you to get a chance to kind of declare what are some of the things that you're going to take from this call and apply. And I'd also like to kind of call this out, that when people are engaged, they tell their friends. You know, we could actually take and put our Facebook, you know, page, and we could actually push it out through the participant dashboard and ask everybody, hey, please like it right now. We can do it right on the call, and that's an effective way. But I want to say just the engagement of the self is what gets people to tell their friends. So I want you to think a little bit of, and maybe I'll take during questions and answers address. I know there were some questions coming in ahead of time around just getting more people onto your call. So let's talk about that. But let's just assume you are having a much bigger impact. You're having much more engagement. People are getting deeper. They're telling your friends, and your business grows. The other aspect about it, this kind of engagement, this scalable engagement, is how much more people are touched by your work. So one thing you could talk about for the breakout is the specific techniques
that you're going to use based on this call? And what are the new things that you're going to take away? So you can, and you can, we're going to, again, have a chance to write them down and then just declare them. And then the other side of this question is, what is it going to mean for your business to have much greater impact on the world, and something so you guys can get to know each other that way, and also just really think big about the impact of this type of technology. Dave, anything you want to say about that breakout?
No, I think it's great, but like before, let's have you write before you speak. So we're going to put you in the same breakouts as before, but first of all, we're going to give you 40 seconds to write. So write the answer to the questions that Brian just spoke about what are you going to use, and then what's the impact going to be. We'll be quiet for 40 seconds now while you write, and we'll come back. And if you're listening to the call, please write, and you can send us your answers. Begin. All right, that's 40 seconds. Thanks for writing. Again, if you are not participating in the breakouts, I'm going to come on join you for another 3 minutes and just give you a few more ideas, also if you're just listening. But if you are participating in the breakout, you'll have this time 3.5 minutes. We're going to give you a luxurious amount of time. You'll hear a chime when there's 1 minute left, and then we'll have you wrap up. So here we go. You're going to be now in your breakouts. Right. And I'm speaking to those few of you who at this point decided that you didn't want to be in a breakout. And again, really no problem. And particularly because I'm also speaking to those of you who are listening to the recording. I want to talk a little bit about this whole idea of what we can do to set up expectation for involvement. Now, we already mentioned a few things, which is that you ask for it, you mention the purpose of it, and then you actually ask for commitment. But another way that you can encourage that participation and that involvement is to ask people what they're teaching themselves. Not what they're learning, but what they're teaching themselves. Or what they're inventing. Not what they're hearing and going to apply. Those are good questions. But this is the idea of, well, what are you as a professional learning about yourself during this interaction? Because what we really want to do is to get people to move from that kind of passive role as a participant to that more edge of their chair role. Earlier, Brian talked about offering expectations. And one expectation that I ask of people is that they not sit, that they literally stand during the class. And if they want to take notes, they set a box on top of their desk and they take notes on top of that box. Or if they are like I am, they don't have a desk that they sit down at. Right now I'm standing. I've been standing all day. I'll stand all afternoon. And the idea is to be able to really be actively involved in my case as a presenter, but I'm asking the participants on the call to do the same. I found out years ago, it was really by accident. This was in 1983. I was working on the second edition of my first book, and every time I had a good idea, I noticed I was standing up. That was amazing to me. So what I did was I took my desk and I pulled it up and put it on cinder blocks. So it was about the height of my waist, and I started working. That was in 1983. I started working standing up, and I haven't sat down since. So it's that kind of participation that we're looking for. Now, I also discovered through research, the University of California did research with freshmen to find out how they solve problems. They discovered that these freshmen solve problems 30% faster and better when they're standing up than they're sitting down. The only variable was just position. So that's what we're talking about. What to do to get people to be either in that stand-up mode, in that active participation mode, or sitting on the edge of your chair. Another option. It's just there's that, like, how are we going to sit? How are we going to have people on the edge of your chair? Well, there's
30 seconds or so to finish up.
Right. So those of you who are not in the groups and those of you who are on the recording, you hear how that works, which is that give people a little time. And when Adam came in, he was talking to all of the breakout groups as well as to us, to what they call the main room in the Maestro Conference platform. So I think their 30 seconds are about up, and we'll listen in on how they go to the next step.
All right, and finish wrapping up and thanking your partners, coming back to the main room.
Once again, Adam and Brian, while you were listening to some of the small groups, I was sharing some other ideas for engagement. And one of the ideas I spoke was asking people on the phone to either be on the edge of their chair or literally standing up. Because when we stand or when we're sitting on the edge of our chair, it's a whole lot more active than that passive lay back, sit back, and relax.
That's good.
I've actually just moved to a standing desktop, which I'd done once before years back, but it feels great to be kind of body in motion. We'd love to hear from people, so we'd love to hear from folks either who heard something that just totally rocked their world, that just felt like that was really applicable to them. If it was to you, it was probably to other people on the call. Or if you could really just hear when you were saying how excited you were and how it landed with other people. So either if you heard something or shared something that really felt like was moving within your group, go ahead and press 1. And let's hear from some of the folks out there. What is it that you guys are doing? Laura, go ahead.
Well, hello. And hello, Dave. I know Dave, so it's wonderful to see you here. So my question, and that we seem to answer in our group, which I don't know if everybody else is aware of, is that you can now use video and PowerPoint in the Maestro process. So that was one thing to be sure about. I want to check that. And also, I'm told that you can control that the groups are in consistent breakout groups. Can you do that even week to week?
Absolutely. A couple technical questions, but there really are best practices, so I'll go ahead and address those. You can include in this participant dashboard actually video. So if you want to have somebody seeing you or show a YouTube video and then talk about it in small groups or breakouts or in the large group. You can do that within our participant dashboard, and there's a video training, and there's also, I think, a video on the, how to do the video, if I'm not mistaken. Adam can correct me. I will say for desktop sharing, for sharing a live PowerPoint from your desktop, the quality is not as good. We're actually speaking with a couple partners to you know, as vendors to us, so that we can really get also a you know, kind of a home run on the desktop sharing as well. But certainly video and interactive and websites and YouTube, all of that's perfectly within our participant dashboard. And Alora, what was your other question?
Can you control the breakout group from week to week?
Absolutely, yeah. So if you have a meeting that people are in from week to week, you can actually several ways. You want to just keep the data in this custom one or custom two, what breakout group they're in. And then you can modify it on the fly, but you can have people select themselves. You can send out a link to everybody who's in group one, a different link to everybody who's in group two, and or you can just code it by hand if you just want to self-select the groups. And then make, so you can also make adjustments. If one day that there's only, you know, one person from a group, you can just get in and modify them. So those these what the keywords there to look for. Anytime you see a reference to custom one or custom two in the documentation, it's referring to those kinds of data. And the other thing you can do is also look, there's a specific document under support that's called advanced registration. And that has some ways where you can, you know, create a little web form and have them select if you want the breakout group by region or beginner advanced. You can create a web form. You can use an API if you've got a web programmer. Or you can just do it by hand, and there's several ways to do that, sending out different links. So all that's in the advanced registration document.
Thank you so much for creating this amazing platform. It's really fabulous. Thank you.
It's we have the best customers, I can't even believe. So it's a pleasure for me to be a part of this and team here. That's is obviously a huge team effort. So, Lynn, go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering if we could have 2 seconds with our partners that we left behind in our breakout groups to say goodbye. We were trying to connect, and we got cut off.
Good idea.
So we'd like to have just a few seconds to do that.
Yeah, why don't we do that before? What we'll do is we'll take a few more questions specifically here for Dave, and then before we break into the Q&A, we'll let everybody back into their breakout groups just a few long enough to say share email addresses or phone numbers. Does that sound good, Lynn?
That would be perfect. Thank
okay,
you so much,
excellent.
Brian.
I will give you a preview, and I hate to do this. I certainly ask our team not to, but in our development environment is a product where the participant dashboard just moves into warp speed. You'll actually be able to see the photos of the people in your breakout group, and you can hand them your business card, request a business card. You can like them, which means that you're more likely to be paired with them later. So that is working in some ways. There is definitely some more work, and some of these things take time. We really want to build this in a way that's just going to be kind of blow everybody's socks off right from the get-go. So I don't want to say this is imminent. It's certainly not in the next couple weeks, but it's sort of working in the developer's version. I mean, I've seen it. It works, and there's, you know, so it is definitely coming. So you can be excited about that coming later this year. Let's just take let me just take any more questions specifically for Dave or things that you shared within your group. Go ahead and press 2 if you either have something that you shared related to something specifically that you want Dave's comment on or that related to something Dave said, or if you have a question for Dave. And let's go ahead and take Joshua.
Thanks, Brian. My question is from my group, and it might have been Martha who brought it up. She was wondering about how to convert free calls into a paid experience.
Excellent. Dave, do you want to address that, or do you want me to?
We can both do that, Brian, because
yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest challenges for all of us. Of course we want to give away our material, but we also want to be paid for it. And I think that this whole idea of getting people active at the beginning of the call, so that at the end of the call, when you call for action called, buy my product or sign up for this seminar or purchase this book or purchase this web course or come to my my live workshop, you've already got people in active mode. So they don't have to go from passive mode to active mode and then purchase something. They're already in active mode. They're already moving. They're already interacting. So now you've only got to get them to go to yes, but they're already in that active mode. So I think that I really do think that you're going to get a lot more conversions when you've got activity.
Great. Joshua, let me just ask a little bit more about your conversion. Do you already have like a fixed audio or CD course, or are you converting people mostly into a kind of a paid teleseminar or a paid live workshop or paid one-on-one coaching? What's the product that you're...
Thanks, Brian. In fact, I'm just beginning that process. I'm probably not even in the infant coming out of the womb stage. Like, I'm probably still in the womb, so I don't have any of that worked out. I was really asking more on behalf of Martha.
Okay.
Maybe we could bring her on and see where she's at.
Yeah, and I will. I'll speak to you as well, but let's see here if I did it right. Martha.
Yes. Thank
of,
you for taking my topic.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really important topic for people.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, my goal is to convert these women this particular group, monthly group, from, being more passive listeners to active listeners to purchasing coaching packages. And, it could be everything from a group coaching package to a one-on-one coaching package. But my first move would be to a group coaching package around this whole concept of self-mastery and the importance of it in being a really effective, centered leader.
Yep. Well, I'm sure there's things you can do around, the messaging. I would say the Maestro Mastermind program, and this is definitely a sales pitch. We're part of this program, so, and that's not the purpose of this call, but the Maestro Mastermind program, Jesse and Charla that teach that are phenomenal at getting people to kind of focus on their target and focus on their message and do it in a very heart-centered way. And I've had a lot of friends go through their programs that have just completely blown up their businesses in amazing ways. So, but I would say this, definitely, engagement, as we've talked about. I would say a combination of group coaching and one-on-one coaching. If you're just starting out, it takes a little more time, the one-on-one, but it also provides a lot more sense of safety. So you say, hey, you're going to get both. We're going to get, even if it's like a one-on-one screening for an hour at the beginning, one in the middle and one in the end, and then through all the middle is all the group coaching.
Or even
if it's 20 minutes. Or likewise, if on the public calls, you can actually say, well, we're going to have some calls where I'm going to pick my three paid members and give them each 20 minutes of one-on-one time, but everybody else can listen, which is kind of an innovative way to do both a free call and a paid call at the same time.
Right.
The people who paid get the one-on-one time, so now in a single hour, you've given three 20-minute semi-private. I mean, it's private because the focus is on them. It's not private because other people are listening, but I thought that was an interesting model. So that with actually taking no more time, you can have a paid, aspect. This is can be one of the paid aspects. And then I think giving people, letting people, having a sense that I think it's not like it's always there. If there's this constant program and it's always there month in and month out and you can always join, that's sort of comforting, but that doesn't actually ever put people at that, precipice of decision point. Am I in or am I out? So I think to say, hey, we are starting a six-week course. I've got these other speakers involved. This is going to be only for the paid people, and I'd love you to participate, and you have definitely a flurry of activity before that starts. And then they make a decision and bless them with their choice either way. You're not trying to get them to one thing, but you're trying to get them to make a decision.
Right. Yeah, and one of the important things to me too was that whole safety issue of, you know, having the group coaching but have two or three people that work together each time they're on in the group coaching session, so that over time, you know, they develop a more intimate, trusting relationship. And I didn't realize how you could segregate people so that if they know they're a one, the ones are always together, the twos are together, and the threes are together, that kind of thing.
Brian, maybe your phone is on mute. We're not hearing you.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
There we go.
I had muted my handset. Thank you so much, Adam. We do want to take a couple of pieces of information from people. First of all, we want to offer people the chance to hear more from Dave. He announces he does live trainings and has some other training resources. So we're just going to offer, if you'd like to receive those via email from Dave Ellis, go ahead and press 1 and do that now. We're not going to give this a lot of time, so go ahead and press 1. If you get, of course, there's no charge. You'll get those free resources from Dave Ellis. So,
and I'll just throw in a quick unsolicited plug is, Dave, your work has really changed my life, and I'm really grateful for the work that I've gotten to do with learning from you. So, and thank you and Brian both for hopefully all of you guys listening to this call can see clearly why I invited these two amazing men to speak to you about how to have a really engaging call. I saw there were a lot of comments on the participant dashboard. Thank you for those. I'm going to, I think we touched on a few of them, and I'm going to read them later and respond to the people whose questions we didn't answer. Right now, I'm going to grab all these people. Wow, 32 people who opted in to your email list. That's great.
80% opt-in rate.
Wow. Wow.
Well, and what, I want to say that this is not only great as a way to answer that other question about converting to sales, because all you have to do on your call is have people who purchase say, all they have to do is hit 1, and then you've got their email addresses, and you know who purchased. What an easy way to make a purchasing decision.
Yeah.
But it's also a great way to create more interaction, because you can say on a call, okay, if you liked what I just said about that, press 3. I'm going to grab your email addresses, and I'm going to send those of you who liked what I just said about that a little MP3 file. And then all of a sudden, you right in the middle of a call have another way for people to say, yep, I like that, I want more. You grab their email addresses, and you can send them out some little feature.
Fantastic. Very good. So it looks like we got those. We also wanted to just ask a quick survey. We're going to be doing these to track you know, the effectiveness of this. So how useful was this call to you? Number 1, I wish I would have done something else with this hour. 2, moderately useful. 3, very useful. I'm glad I came. 4, extremely useful. Please do it again and invite me. So again, voting 1 through 4. 1, you know, wish I'd done something else. 2, moderately useful. 3, very useful. Really glad I came. And 4, extremely useful. Please do it again and invite me. Oh my gosh, I'm stunned.
See, this was a good use of our hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
And 10 minutes.
You know, I thought I'd give people anonymity, but go ahead and broadcast that. That's stunning. So thank you very much.
And for those of you who aren't on the participant dashboard and those of you just listening to the recording, I'll say that 54% said 4, very useful, and invite me again, and the rest said 3, and no one said 1 or 2. Thank you.
Absolutely. So I think we offered people to have a quick chance to connect with those in their breakout groups, and then Adam and I are going to stay on, and we know we had some questions ahead of time that were about you know, the interface, how to get partners on to mail for you. Definitely going to handle some marketing questions in terms of getting more people onto your events, and then also some specific questions. I see there's just a couple people in solo breakout groups. I'm just going to partner you with each other because maybe your partner dropped out. But we'll just do that for a quick minute. Partners are now in your breakout group. So go ahead and just quickly trade your phone number or email address. We'll take about, hopefully about 60 seconds. So make it speedy and begin.
All right, and starting to wrap up. Go ahead and thank your partners, and we're coming back to the main room.
All right. Thanks again, Dave. Your website, Dave, so if they want to read in the meantime before they hear from you.
DaveEllisLeadership.com. DaveEllisLeadership.com. Thanks, Brian. I'm glad to glad you have this platform. I just really echo a couple of the other participants. Way to invent something that really helps us teachers who want to have people engaged.
Well, I'm delighted to have you as a customer and a friend, Dave. So look forward to another lunch.
And now you're going to stay on and answer other questions.
Yeah. You know, I saw a couple questions both in the feedback and in the questions ahead of time around getting more people on your calls. And I wanted to address, I really think the key there is partnerships. And there are a lot of coaches kind of partnering with other coaches. And I think that's a fine way to do it. I think you definitely want to make a personal relationship and say, hey, I'm hosting a call and let's cross promote it. And you can even make it a call for them, but do an opt-in for you. One of the great things about this, in a traditional call, one person gets the list. You know, if you're registering for my call, I get the list. And if you're a guest, hey, what do you get? Nothing. Maybe you get announced your URL. But to say, hey, we're going to do an opt-in. We're going to do an opt-in for you. All of a sudden now, there's a reason for me to want to get people onto that call as well. Say, you know, pump it out on my Facebook and Twitter and that sort of thing, because we're both going to do list building. But I want to talk about something I think is a little more unique, and that is approaching related organizations. So, for example, I heard one of the participants today talking about talking specifically about women being better leaders. Well, the concept of approaching some women's networking groups or some women's groups within the Chamber of Commerce or the associations and saying, hey, I'd love to have this call, and I'll actually put it together for you. And it's not going to be a typical presentation webinar. We're all going to be focused on networking and getting involved. Call it a social media, a live social media event. And you can produce it all on behalf of this organization. They get the email addresses of everybody who registers. But this is a big organization. They got lots of people on it. So you're just producing it. But by the way, at the end, hey, I also do a private circle for women. If you'd like to get some free information, I'm actually having some free events on that. Go ahead and press 1. So that is, you can do an event on behalf of a much larger organization, and they'll be happy for you to do an opt-in for yourself. And that's a way for somebody, if you don't have a list or your list is very small and you'd really want to go out and get some big lists, volunteer to produce some events for some big organizations, and then you'll just do an opt-in for yourself as part of that. And that's a terrific way to start to create. And you're really going to find those organizations through networking, find out what their key things. Hey, you want to get, if it's a nonprofit, they want to get donations. Let me involve some of the people on your email list in some unique ways, and then let's see if their donations goes up. So I know that would be the impact. And by the way, if you're doing that for a nonprofit and you need your lines boosted, let me know. We can do that. Kind of on a trial basis, we can boost your lines significantly for no charge. If you're doing an event for a nonprofit, we're happy to sponsor that. So that just answered a few people's questions about getting more people onto the other events. The other thing I would say is frequent reminders and snazzy subject lines. The subject line by far is the most important thing in terms of breaking through via email. And we're also adding Facebook integration, so specifically adding people, asking people to promote on Facebook. That was some written questions. Why don't I take some more questions? Go ahead and press 2 if you have a new question, either for Adam or myself, about the interface or about marketing or JV promotions. I built this business really focused on relationship, referrals and joint ventures. And it looks like we've got Ray.
Well, hello.
Hey there.
Well, Mine wasn't, when I originally raised my hand, it wasn't so much a question as it was a comment. And I shared this within my group in that last breakout you did with us. And that is, I just feel like I'm in the right place at the right time with the right people. And I want to thank you so much for doing what you're doing. And I know you got that earlier today. But what you're doing is amazing, and how many people you're helping, and then we're going to go help more. It's exactly what I want to do with my calls. And so I feel this wonderful resonance with you all. And I just want to thank you for all the things you've done. I've been with Maestro from the beginning, and I've yet to do my first call, even though I signed up to do calls a year ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And I really feel today I made a tipping point. Well, I stayed in with it because I just felt it was research and development, and I didn't want to break the connection. And so I upgraded to Jesse and Charlotte's program, you know,
fantastic.
In December. And I am just so delighted because I'm getting exactly what I want. And I just love you guys. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much, Ray.
You're welcome.
We're in Oakland. We've had a couple of customers come by. We'd love to meet you. So.
I'll come by. I'm over in Fairfax, so I'll come by and visit you. And,
fantastic.
And just thank you so much. And all of you out there, you know, not making calls, you'll get there. I actually have an extensive background in business, and still there was something holding me back. And so I know from experience that getting the right support is important, and just persevering, which is what I've done, just a step at a time every day, it's going to happen. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Very welcome. I know that Maestro Mastermind program is going to be terrific. So.
Yeah, it already is. Like I said, I have an extensive business background, so when I saw that program and listened to the call, I could recognize the quality that was there and the structure.
The
structure
terrific.
Will work. There's not a doubt in my mind about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ray. How about Julie?
Oh, hi. Julie Renee?
Yes.
Okay, good. I heard you say something in the call about 10 minutes ago, and you weren't very complete in it, and perhaps you assumed that we understood what you were talking about. But you had mentioned that we could have them raise their hand, and then we would have their information so that we could send them an MP3 or we could connect
That's right.
them into the next level.
That's right.
And I just don't understand that. If you're
absolutely.
You're doing four of them, click number one, two,
absolutely.
Or three,
absolutely.
How do you know on that particular question what those particular emails are?
Sure. So
if you
want to explain that?
Sure, that'd be great. So, Julie Renee, what you want to do is after the poll that you're interested in order to capture it, there's three steps you do. Okay, so let's say, like we did with Dave, we said just press one if you want to opt in to receive more information from him, and then a lot of people on the call press one. So what you want to do then is, and you can practice this on our simulator. If you go to maestroconference.com/support, you can see our simulator there and practice this yourself. But here are the three steps. You can write these down and practice them later. So on the top middle, there's a drop down there, and you want to select the people with the one hand up, or if you've got like a poll with one through five or whatever, you can just select all the participants. Okay, that's step number one. Then you want to go over to the info tab, and then just hit the button copy selected callers. Okay, and then it's on the clipboard on your computer, and then you go over to a spreadsheet program like Excel and just hit paste, control V. Okay, and then you've got everyone who opted in, who pressed one or anything they pressed, along with their name, email, the phone number they called in on, and their hand level. Okay, did that make sense? Were you able to follow that, Julie Renee?
That's really fast for someone who doesn't Excel spreadsheet, would that go into like eye contact? If I have eye contact, I'd just be able to grab it and put them into a database that has an automated system? Or
sure, yeah, if you can upload it into eye contact or something like that, if you can upload any Excel or CSV, you should be able to do that. That's beyond the scope of what we would do. That's something you could ask their support about, but we would. What you could get off your Maestro conference call is a clean list of everyone's name and email. All right. Great. Good question.
So it sounds like there's two steps. There's one where there's the top middle drop. You have to select the group that you're selecting, and then the second one is an info tab where you copy and select the whole callers. Is that right?
That's right.
Places where you select?
Yep.
Okay, I will practice on the simulator. And then the last step is to just copy and paste, and then I'd want to learn how to use my copy and pasting it into an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, if you've got Excel, that's definitely the main one, but I know that it works with some of the other
sure.
kind of free, spreadsheet programs or that sort of thing. But if you've
awesome.
Got Excel, just use Excel for sure.
Awesome. And then one second question. I maybe misunderstood, but I'd love the class, so it's not a problem. I was thinking that this was going to teach us how to bring more people into the call, and you did have this wonderful idea about collaborating with someone else, so that gets you more exposure. Did you have any other ideas, or is there a workshop or something that's already set up and banked in for us to listen to on how to build student numbers?
Absolutely. Well, the MaestroMastermind.com, I think, has a couple free videos, and then they've got a paid course. So that's Jesse and Sharla that are phenomenal. And that's just MaestroMastermind.com, and you can get on their email list. That's one thing. I think asking people specifically to tell their friends. And if you've got a Facebook page, you can ask them right on the call, hey, listen, I'd like to take 2 minutes, and I'd like you to share what your thoughts. If you had all got anything out of this, it's really going to mean a lot to me if you could, do a Facebook status message or tell your friends or do an email. And, they're right there. You're in relationship with them. If you've just given, given, they feel that, and they want to give something back. And, of course, there's still a choice to do it or not to do it. But then you can use our participant dashboard. Here's our Facebook page. Please go ahead and comment on the wall. Please go ahead and share. You can push out a message that would be a status message, a suggested status message that they can edit. So really making the kind of the viral buzz directly part of the call rather than sort of hoping that they do it afterwards. And then the JV partnerships, I think those are, the virtual series where you do a whole group of people and everybody's, the part of the deal to be in the series is that everybody emails about it. Everybody kind of promotes. A lot of the people have really built up their list, now to hundreds of thousands that started by just, asking their friends, hey, let's all promote this event. And then, and especially, like I say, with Maestro Conference, you can do opt-in for everybody during their event, so everybody gets the opt-ins. Those, I'd say, would be the keys.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Very good. I need to run. If anybody has specific questions on the interface itself, Adam, can you stay for another 5 minutes?
Yeah, I can definitely stay. And so I don't see any other hands up. I just want to remind you, again, press 1 if you've got a question. Any last questions for Brian, and then I can stay on for other technical questions.
Wow. I'm going to drop. Really, really appreciate everybody. And in fact, it looks like we've handled the questions. So I think we'll just call it a wrap. We'll definitely be back with more advanced trainings, different speakers, and that sounds like a good topic for an upcoming call is how to get people onto the call. So
yeah, I heard that too. Okay, good. So Brian, we'll let you go, and I actually do see one more question here from Jim. So let's go ahead and take that. Jim, go ahead.
All right, take care, everybody.
Thanks. Jim, go ahead.
This is Jim, and I had sort of a beginner's question. I've been through a Maestro training once before, 9 months ago, and forgot a bunch. And maybe some other people could use a refresher on what are our learning options.
Oh, great. Okay.
Maestro.
Thanks, Jim. So first of all, we've got all kinds of tools on our support page at maestroconference.com/support. But what I definitely recommend is just check out that customer success clinic again. And I can drop you a line about that and give you the upcoming dates. I lead that twice a week, and it just takes an hour. And I go through everything. I go through this interface, how you set up a call, how you handle registration. And I take lots of questions. So I would just recommend putting in an hour and you'll be refreshed.
Great. Thanks.
Okay, good. And I'll drop you an email about that. Thanks, Jim. Any last questions while you got me here? Go ahead and press 1. Otherwise, we can call it a day. Joshua, go ahead. You've got the mic.
Sure, Adam. Thanks. I'm just wondering, like I kind of mentioned before, I'm just in the beginning process of developing a course that I think, you know, a telecourse that I think would be really helpful for folks. And I like don't have a big email list at all or anything like that, and yet I really want to make a difference. And so I'm wondering if you were in my shoes and you were just starting out, what were some of the things that you, and I'm very familiar with the master interface and all that, so you know that. But you know, if you were designing a course and you wanted to make a big difference for folks and just beginning, you know, what would you do if you were in my shoes?
Yeah, that's such a good question, and it seems similar to what Julie Renee was just asking as well in terms of how do you spread the word and get more more folks to show up. I was racking my brain. I don't have a lot of good ideas on that. That's really not my specialty. But I love Brian's idea of that could definitely be a topic for a future advanced training. I thought perhaps getting Stephen Dynan as a guest speaker. He's masterful at very quickly growing a huge email list. If any of you know his work at the Shift Network, it's pretty remarkable what he's done with that. So that's one suggestion is check out theshiftnetwork.com and see what they do and how they do it. One of their key strategies is to do summits, to do a series on a particular topic. Like I see we have Noji King on the line. Noji was the facilitator of one of their summits, and where they had lots of amazing guest speakers, and all of them were mailing all of their lists, and all of those people who opted in become part of the SHIP Network list. Noji, did you want to add anything around that?
No, I have a separate question.
Okay, great. Good. So, Joshua, hopefully there will be more trainings coming up on that. Thanks for the question.
Thank you.
Good. Noji and then William. Noji, go ahead.
Yeah. Adam, I'm still having some technical problems with the account that we got through 4 years ago. So I'm just wondering when the best time to contact you would be and what the best method to contact you to follow through with that.
Okay, great. So first of all, we've got, you know, you can call our support anytime. I'm happy to stay on the line with you if you want to talk about your specific account. I'm happy to stay on the line here once we're all complete, and we can have that conversation right on this call, and I'll make sure it's not recorded or anything like that.
Okay, that sounds good. Let's just do that.
Okay, great. Thanks, Noji.
Thank you.
Thank you. And over to William. William, you've got the mic.
Hi. I would be interested in the media training class again, if you could sign me up for that.
Sure.
And what day is it again?
I lead that every other Wednesday at this point, but like Brian was sharing earlier, what you know, I used to go over this whole thing about Ustream, and we still do have that integration with Ustream, but what I've come to recommend now is simply using the blue post message button and sharing a link with your participants. So are you trying to do PowerPoint or something else, William?
Well, we have PowerPoint. We also have streaming video, and I would love, you say you have a clinic, is that correct? Is that the same thing as this, or?
No,
I would
this
love
is the advanced, go ahead.
Yeah, advanced clinic?
Yeah, this is the advanced training that looks like it's going to be once a month, and I lead the customer success clinic twice a week. That's where I go over all the basics, and now I'm including how you share a link right through that, right through the participant dashboard and that blue post message button at the bottom of the interface.
Okay. Well, I have a big project that I'm coming up with, and I would love to have a time to talk to you about that, maybe 20, 30 minutes, just to outline what I'm doing and get your feedback on how to do it.
Okay. Great. Be happy to do that. Feel free to call our customer support, or you can email me and we can set up a time.
That's Adam at Maestro?
Yep, you got it. Adam@maestroconference.com.
Okay. All right, that's enough for now.
Okay. Excellent. Well, let's call it a wrap. Noji, we can have that conversation we talked about. And everyone, thank you so much for your time. I hope this has been really valuable for you. And see you again next month. I believe the date is going to be Friday, April 22nd, and we'll be emailing everyone as we confirm the date, time, and, of course, the topic. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great day.